Ever heard of the Butler rebate? Does Save Our Homes and Portability ring a bell? Well, today on Real Clear, talk about real estate in Northeast Florida, you're going to find out how these words can save homeowners money. But you have to ask for them. We'll also bust myths about working with realtors today and recent changes in that arena. And of course, we'll talk music in Northeast Florida. And finally, we'll tell you three crucial questions you must ask your realtor today. All coming up on Real Clear with me, Brian Marsh, and Brad White. Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Hey, Groovy, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Glad to do something new here and got some great things to talk about, right?
Absolutely, man. We've been talking about this for a little bit, that there's so much information that we don't get to talk out with, especially with some of the other interviews that we do when we're interviewing somebody else, where we actually get a chat as realtors, the professionals that we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, there are a couple of things you and I have talked about for quite a while that I'm not sure, and I think you feel the same way. We don't know that most people understand some things that are out there. Now, there's a lot of changes going on in the real estate business, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But there are a couple of things that are really valuable for people that can save them a lot of money when they're, especially if they sell a home and buy a new one. One is the Save Our Homes Act. And what is that in Florida? What does that mean? Because it's a way that your taxes on your home, your property taxes are limited, which is a good thing if you're a homeowner. But but if you sell your home in Florida and you buy another home in Florida, you can port those savings to the other home that you bought, the new home that you bought. So it's kind of a cool thing. And I'm not sure a lot of people are aware of this.
A lot of people don't know about that. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, by the way, the intent here is not to make people experts on this. It's just for people to understand, hey, this is something I need to check into, because some of these things, especially the portability thing, you don't automatically get that unless you apply for it. So it's you have to be proactive in applying for it and in order to get it. Otherwise, you could take a pretty good hit on the amount of property taxes you're paying on your new home. So it's just something to be aware of. But Save Our Homes is something that's statewide, right?
Yep.
And it limits increases to your home's assessed value to 3% per year. Yep. Essentially what it's looking at is the difference. Now it's creating a major difference between your assessed value and your market value. And it's limiting what that assessed value can go up every year to 3%. Yep. Think about what's happened, you know, with COVID and all the stuff.
The appreciation of homes for sure has went way up. Without a doubt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So when you think about your home, let's say you've been in your home since, 2019, okay? And then things took off. And your home may have appreciated by $200,000 or more.
Yep.
Your tax assessment value is only going to go up by 3% each of those years. So it really does protect homeowners. But the problem is, if you sell your house and then turn around and buy another one, without that portability, you're going to get into that new one, and you're going to, if that one's only gone up 3% per year and it's been artificially held down by the same Save Our Homes Act, then you're going to get hit pretty hard with what the new taxes are on that home. And you need to be aware of that when you're buying a house. It's pretty important, right?
Yeah. And a lot of places, a lot of people don't tell you about that. It's like the Butler rebate. I mean, you know, they don't just offer that up, right? I mean, that's something that you need to bring up. And there's, and obviously that's only for in the state of Florida, if you're moving from house to house. But if you don't know that, this is a big money saver right here, long-term, just like if you forget to sign up for the homestead, I mean, you're hurting for a while. So,
So, and by the way, to toot our own horns, Brad and I make these things very apparent to any client that we're working with to say, hey, listen, you need to make sure you file for homestead exemption. Yep. And homestead exemption, you don't automatically get for that year that you're in. Yep. There's some time constraints there that enter into it. But as soon as you buy that home, you can apply for it and it will be there approved for the next year if you don't, right. if it doesn't fit in the first year. So your realtor needs to tell you that and insist, and they need to call you a month or so later and say, hey, did you remember to apply for homestead exemption? And then you get the 3% limit to how much your assessed value can go up, which is a great thing. And then if you sell your home and buy another one, whatever value you have kind of accumulated there, you can port that again. And so,
and part of that too, I know we talk about it a lot, but we bought and sold homes ourselves. And the reason we are more transparent about this stuff is because our agents didn't tell us any of this stuff, right? They didn't tell us. I didn't have an agent, you know, and I've had some pretty decent agents, but nobody's ever said, hey, make sure you sign up for your homestead, right?
Yes. Yes. And that's the key to this. And I think it's a really good point why we want people to understand it is that the truth of the matter is, rightly or wrongly, a lot of agents just aren't even aware of it. Yeah. If you, and I will, a lot of them are, they're certainly aware of the Save Our Homes law.
Yep.
But a lot of them, I don't know, are aware of portability of that homestead exemption. And that's a big deal. And the next topic here is this Butler rebate that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And I don't think virtually any sellers are aware of that, but it is it's a way to save some pretty good money if you're selling your home.
Yep.
And the gist of it is that when you sell your home, you're going to get title insurance that basically ensures that the title is clean and will can be transferred and all that stuff. Well, that's insurance, basically, you're buying to make sure that you're covered if something happens later on. So you pay a premium for that insurance. Well, that premium that you pay is not a set amount, and it is negotiable. And it used to not be negotiable by law, with not by law, but the insurance commissioner and all of those folks that set insurance policy in the state said that that was not negotiable. Butler, there's a person named Butler that took it to the Florida Supreme Court and said, you should be able to negotiate that premium. The court agreed. And now the Butler rebate was born. So, the thing about it is you must be proactive to ask for it at closing through your title company. Some title companies will not do it because it costs them money. If they won't, my suggestion is look around for other title companies because plenty will do it. I had a closing that happened recently. They asked the title company for the rebate. They got the rebate and it was $1,500. It's not small money. Okay. And now not everything is $1,500. This was an expensive home that was sold. But even if your home is in the $500,000 or even $200 or $300, $1,000, listen, all of us need to save money. And if you can save a few hundred dollars, especially when you're buying a home or selling a home, that's a big deal. So if make sure that when you're selling your home, you talk to not just your realtor, but the title company, and you say, I want the Butler rebate. If they tell you you can't have it or they won't do it, then tell your agent you want to look at some other title companies to work with for the closing. So,
It just makes sense, and it makes sense.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Real Clear. Brad and I are always happy you join us. We hope you like our podcast. And if you have any comments or you'd like to get in touch with us, you can reach Brad White at 904-770-5350. That's 904-770-5350. Call or text him. You can reach me by call or text at 904-535-5874. That's 904-535-5874. Now let's get back to Real Clear. So anyway, those are two ways that you can save money, but you need to be proactive. And you need a realtor that will help you be proactive. And by the way, if you want a realtor who is proactive, Brad White, is really proactive. I know that. And there's his phone number right there. And I'm Brian Marsh. You can call either one of us.
Yep.
And we'll be happy to help you out with these kind of things. So anyway, just some fun stuff to do. Okay. Home values today. And Brad, we're talking in general terms. I haven't pulled the latest stuff, but just my sense, and I'd be interested to know what your sense is of what's going on in the Jacksonville market. I think it's a little bit slow right now. Have you seen much different than that?
No, it's definitely slow. Currently, 10,500 available homes in Northeast Florida, and that's condos, townhomes, and single family. So that's a combination of everything. And so what we finally can say is it's a balanced market, right? So we've got sellers, we've got buyers, and there's a lot of inventory out there right now, which says a lot for, you know, compared to most of Florida, who are still way down on the inventory, and really even other states. So we've got a lot of new builds, and that's single family homes. There's, you see it, there's condos, there's townhomes, there's apartment complexes going up everywhere in this area. So that's a good thing, because we were definitely short on inventory. But
it is a good thing. And it goes back to this whole idea of affordability of homes. And with lack of inventory, affordability is a tough thing. And, you know, some of us are, excuse me, fortunate enough where we can still afford a home no matter what the inventory situation looks like, or how that's impacting home prices. But, you know, there are a lot of people who want to own a home, want to get into it for the first time, or have a growing family and they need a larger home. And affordability is a real thing. And anytime we can get more building going, that's going to be better, because there's just more inventory on the market. So that's a good thing. No question about it.
The rates are coming down a little bit too. So we talk about the golden handcuffs, right? So those of us who are at 2.75% interest rate, well, we don't want to sell because, you know, and then have to go to 7.5. Well, now we're getting in the low sixes right now. And Powell hasn't even dropped the rates yet. He's supposed to here in September. So it can make a big difference.
I agree. And I think it just seems like we're on a path where rates are going to steadily start coming down. You know, I think people would love to get them down to the twos and threes. How long is it going to take for that to happen? If it does happen, I don't even know. But you think about it, even if it comes down into the fours, then there's good opportunity to refinance for a lot of folks, and people who are trying to buy. It makes it much more affordable. You can buy a lot more house. So there's good news out there. But we're at the beginning of it. I think the beginning of the cycle, still a little bit slow, but I think it's going to get started heating up here, because I think there are a lot of people who've been on the sidelines because they just didn't want to make a move under the certain conditions that are out there. So I think those conditions are changing. It's a balanced market, as you said, and it looks like interest rates are coming down. So
rates are coming down. We've got more inventory. Homeowners insurance is getting more affordable, and you know, so there's a lot of things that are good, especially the people who are renting and couldn't afford it. In fact, I was at a home yesterday that's up for sale, and it's the price has come down quite a bit. So now it's at the same price they bought it for in 2021. So, you know, if you're looking to buy, you know, this is definitely the time in Northeast Florida.
100% agree. 100% agree. You know, a lot of stuff is out there right now about changes going on in the real estate industry, more particularly with how you work with agents. There have been some major changes. There have been some things that really haven't changed at all. So I think it's important. And Brad, you know, we can spend a few minutes maybe clearing the air a little bit.
Yep.
We are in a changing environment. There's no question about that. Yep. but there's also some myths that are out there that are important, I think, for us to kind of at least clear up or dispel completely. And I think the first one is the 6% commission rule. I think most people thought that there was somehow legally binding where everybody had to pay 6% buying or selling a home. That's really not true. And we can talk a little bit more about some of those things in a minute. The other thing that I think is worth us speaking to that I think is a myth is the idea that if you're working with a realtor, if you are working with what they call a transactional agent, and in Florida, if you don't sign a document that makes that agent a what we call a single agent, and we'll talk about that in just a second. If you don't sign something that says that, so if you're working with an agent and you haven't signed anything with them, then you are, that agent is a transactional agent, which means quite a few things, but essentially it means that that agent's duty is not to you, their client, but it is to the transaction. It's to get the transaction done, to help bring both sides to find some equal ground. Nothing wrong with that. However, you need to understand that the transactional agent does not have a fiduciary responsibility of confidentiality and complete loyalty to you as their client and customer. It means that they can share things with another realtor or other people about the fact that maybe you'd be willing to pay less if you made an offer on a home and you offered a little bit more, but you'd be willing to pay less. Transactional agent doesn't mean that they would, but they can go to the other agent, the selling agent, and say, hey, my client's offering this. I think they might come down some. So there are things like that that go on in this, in the transactional area. But if you're a single agent, they cannot, your agent cannot do those kinds of things without you expressly giving them permission. And that is a legally binding thing. Okay. So we're talking some pretty severe issues if they break that confidentiality. So that's important. And we can talk a little bit more about it. But the other thing here, Brad, is how much a buyer's agent gets paid. You know, it's like, I know a lot of people think, well, my agent only showed, you know, all they did was show me a few houses and I saw some of those online and, you know, really? I mean, come on. Is it worth 3% of the total transaction? Well, there are reasons why. And we can talk about that in a couple of minutes. But in terms of this 6% commission rule, there never was one, but it's always been negotiable, right?
Well, I don't know. You know, everybody says it's been negotiable, but you and I talk about it all the time. Nobody's ever negotiated anything with us. And that's why we're on here. That's why we decided to become realtors, because we've experienced all that stuff. And not one time out of all the homes that I've bought has somebody said, hey, you know, I work for 6% and, you know, this, it was always just sign here, sign here, sign here. There was no negotiation at all. And it was unwritten. And I could have paid 7% on some. I have no clue, right? Because I just kind of went along with it. And that's part of that transparency, that why this lawsuit has come out.
Exactly. So today, there's a huge effort due to a lawsuit that Brad just referred to make sure that people understand on both sides of the transaction, buyers and sellers, that what they pay the agent is a negotiable fee, that it's a negotiable commission. It could also be a flat fee, but it has to be stated in the contract what it is, but there's no set amount that is standard. Okay. Traditionally it was 6% split half and half. The seller's agent would get 3, the buyer's agent would get 3, and you move on. But now it could be any combination of those kind of things. So it's up for grabs from that perspective. But the key here is, what do you think your realtor is worth? Okay. And listen, all of us, when we're into any kind of transaction, we all want to pay as little as possible if we're buying something. And if we're selling something, we want to make as much as possible. That's just human nature. But it comes down to, I think, what is the value of your agent and what is the agent really doing for you? So,
you're right. And a lot of times they don't know what all we do, you know, and one of the things that really goes unnoticed with realtors is, I think negotiation skills are probably greatest values that we offer, you know, clients as our advocate, you know, because, you know, when you have that knowledge and you can defend and encourage, you know, our price point, that goes a long way. And people don't understand that negotiation that we do with other, with that other agent. And that's where that single agency comes in, because we're, you know, we're fighting for you as the buyer or the seller, however you are, versus just managing the paper like you would for a transaction program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and so when you get down to what the agent's worth, you really have to think about things like negotiating skills.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you haven't done this type of negotiation, it doesn't mean you can't do it. But if you're used to doing this type of negotiation, yep, at this level, then you need to let an expert handle it if you're not. But yep, the other things, think about it for just a second. Generally, these are the largest financial commitments or transactions, yep, you will undertake, right, in your lifetime. Yep. And if you're willing to nickel and dime somebody who may be willing to do it, but may not be a really good agent for you, and gamble with your money, which is what you're doing, hundreds of thousands of dollars to save a few bucks,
yeah,
then you could end up on the wrong side of that. And your realtor is doing things like understanding what a contract looks like, yeah, understanding whether it's a good contract on either side. Is the offer a good one that the seller's getting? Is the seller asking too much? Is the seller not willing to give things? Once you're under contract, you have inspections that have to be done. If you're a buyer, does your buyer agent know who a good inspector is to come in and have that work done? Yeah. Once the inspector points out things that need to be done, you're back in the negotiating again.
Okay. Yep.
Because you're negotiating, hey, we don't want to take this house with these problems. We need these things to be fixed at seller's expense,
yep,
or some kind of a negotiating thing back and forth.
Right.
And there's a lot that goes into that. It's not easy, and it's very delicate. And it's also, there's a lot of things that have to be done properly from a legal standpoint. And if you don't know the law, we're not attorneys. Let me be real clear on that.
Yep.
But we know when an attorney should be brought in. And we also know what the most important laws are regarding the contracts, fair housing laws, things like that. And that's where, in my opinion, a realtor earns their money.
Yep.
And you have to, again, go back to thinking about the type of investment that you have on the line. And are you willing to put that investment in that trust into someone who you don't feel real confident in understands what they're doing? And if you, yeah, are, then go right ahead. And a lot of people think they can do it themselves. Listen, if you've bought and sold a lot of homes yourself, you probably can do it yourself. If you, yeah, haven't, it's going to be a major problem. There's no question about that.
There's some horror stories out there. So, and we've definitely heard them. So just be careful, because there's a lot of people that try to push you to sell your house yourself. So.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as changes go, continuing that topic, if you are looking to buy a home, and you're going to work with a realtor, you need to understand that you are not going to be able to look at the first home, any home, until you sign an agreement to work with that realtor. Okay.
Right.
And that's part of the changes that have come about through the lawsuit. And,
yep,
those are requirements that are now out there for everyone.
Yep.
That's a realtor. It's not just Brad and myself deciding that's the way it's going to be. This is the new law of the land, yes, basically. And so be prepared for that. Nothing big in these agreements and these, what you're going to sign. It's essentially going to lay out a few things. It's going to essentially lay out something like how long you're going to have this relationship with that realtor. And it's going to identify that it is a single agent relationship, like we said,
yep,
which gives you the confidence that you're now dealing with somebody who is legally bound to have loyalty to you and you only, and also to be confidential with you,
yep,
and not break those confidences, as well as the other things that a realtor would normally do. But until you, the other thing it's going to spell out is how much that buyer's agent. Your agent is going to get paid for the transaction.
Yep.
Okay. And you're going to agree to that. Now, you might have to pay that fee if the home you're buying, that the seller on that side doesn't want to pay it. Traditionally, that seller has paid that commission for your agent. I think a lot of that's going to continue. But you just need to be aware that your agent's not going to work for nothing.
Exactly.
You don't work for nothing, your agent's not going to work for nothing. And they're going to spell out exactly what they're going to make. And either the seller can pay for that through an offering to the buyer's agent, or you're going to have to pay for it. So,
one thing to add with that, Brian, and I love it, because there are a lot of myths. There's a lot of things out there that people are saying, but when you sign that agreement, the term is that's negotiable too. So it may be 6 months, it could be 2 years, it could be today only, right?
Yes.
So that's the good thing. And the other thing that I want to add to that, which I like, is to break that contract anyway, we just have to be in writing. So even if you just send a text message saying, hey, I don't want to use you anymore, it's done, it's over, right? So that's all you need. So you have this paper, you have to sign, be able to look at homes, which protects both of us. And, you know that we're working for you, but it also, it can certainly be broken. So just note that, because I think that's going to be huge. And look, the first 6 months here with this, all these changes are going to be kind of chaos until we get things really figured out, because there's a lot of more documents and all that stuff, but it's going to work out to be better in the long run for everybody and, you know, for the buyers and sellers and everybody.
No question. No, good points there. Good points there. Excellent. Okay. So because of these changes, it's important when you're either interviewing a realtor or if you have a relationship already with a realtor, here's some questions that you need to ask them and make sure that they are prepared to walk you through this new world that we're in now, because some things have changed. Okay. So the first question that you should ask them to tell you about the training they have had on the new contracts that are now required when buying and selling homes in Jacksonville. Yep. The basic contracts that we've always used are not being used anymore. We have a new type of contract that's being used. And there's some key differences within those contracts, and your agent needs to understand what those differences are and understand how to navigate through them when they are either making an offer or they're have the listing or whatever. They need to be trained in that. If they are not, you need to ask them when they plan to get fully up to speed on it. And if they don't have a formal training plan in place, you need to think about whether that's going to be the right person for you or not.
Describe. And with that, we've been training on this for a good 3 months.
So, absolutely.
I mean, it's nonstop, which is good, because there is so much and there's more documents, but we're learning it because to protect the buyers and the sellers, without a doubt. So we're prepared and we can help with the negotiation, but we know exactly what's going on in those contracts. So
no question. So the second question is, describe the formal training you've participated in for the new rules about buyer and agent agreements and about publishing seller and buyer agent commissions. When I say publishing those, what I mean is, traditionally, if you're a seller and you are offering a buyer agent commission, when that listing goes into the MLS service, and most of you are familiar what MLS is, all of that information on the commissions is in that listing on MLS. Today, that cannot happen anymore. The lawsuit and the new rules say that MLS cannot address any sort of buyer agent compensation. It can't happen.
Yep.
So you need to ask if your realtor is fully up to speed on those rules, and if they are, great. And what is their plan for ensuring that, since it can't be an MLS, which has traditionally been the way that you've figured out what those commissions were, how are they going to do that? What is their plan to learn that and to do that and communicate with the buyer or the agent on the other side?
Yep.
it's important. And this stuff is happening on August 17th. Okay. So it's not like this is way in the future. It's happening right now. Yep. Ask your agent about the formal training that they've had to make sure that they are up to speed on this. Very important that you do that. To Brad's point, we have had a lot of formal training on that. Yep. And your realtor should too. The next one, and the third and final question is, ask your agent who they reach out to for guidance to ensure those transactions follow the new rules and policies. Because here's the thing, Brad and I have been trained well, but we also don't know everything. And some things may pop up with this in this new world that we're not really sure of the answer of. And we have resources that we go to that know the answer. And if they don't know the answer, they go to legal resources to find the answer. So there's a really good support system to ensure we're doing this correctly. Ask your agent what that support system looks like to ensure that these transactions are going to be done in a legal manner without any complications or issues it wasn't done correctly, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So those are the things that are changing.
Great questions. I mean, you know, there's obviously a lot of stuff, but I think those are three great questions that really a lot of people wouldn't ask or wouldn't even think to ask. So,
yeah. And in this new world, it's just important. You can't assume, because here's where we are today. There are lots and lots of excellent realtors out there that have been doing this for a long time and doing it very well. But we are now in a new world, and some of the stuff is a little complicated, and you really have to think it through and be trained correctly to understand it. So no matter how long you've been in the business, you have to understand these new rules and these new changes, and you have to be really up to speed on them in order to serve your client well. So it's just important that you ask these questions today. No matter how long you've been working with your realtor in the past, you may have bought and sold several homes with them. No problem. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do that. And we're not advocating you switch realtors. We're just advocating that you arm yourself with good information so that you're working with the right people. That's really what we're doing.
Yeah, be prepared.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Real Clear. Brad and I are always happy you join us. We hope you like our podcast. And if you have any comments or you'd like to get in touch with us, you can reach Brad White at 904-770-5350. Call or text him. You can reach me by call or text at 904-535-5874. Now let's get back to Real Clear. Okay, let's talk a little about music. You want to turn the subject over to music?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would love to talk about music.
Here's something that I saw the other day and I thought was really cool. I've not been there to this place. And to be fair, this is not country music. It's not rock music. It's not blues, jazz, or anything like that. This is traditionally or primarily, I should say, classical, maybe a little bit of jazz in there, but there's this place called Friday Musicale, which I had never really heard of before, but I happen to see it online. It's here in Jacksonville. It's located at 645 Oak Street in a beautiful old building that's been around for a long time. The organization itself that puts it on, the Friday Musicale folks, their history goes back to 1890, actually. Wow. In this particular building, but they do go back probably 70 or 80 years to this particular building, which is at 645 Oak Street. But they have live music on a regular basis, a fairly small venue from what I understand, but it's supposed to be really cool. Coldplay was the group I was thinking about before. They do these on a semi-regular basis. They do these candlelight performances, they call them, and they'll have a string quartet or a small orchestra that will perform, and they have candles all over the place. So it's candle lit, and they will take an artist or a group like Coldplay, and they will take one of their albums, and they will, with that musical ensemble, will actually perform the music from an album. And so they do a lot of that. So it just seems like a really cool thing. And I'm sure my wife and I will probably go do that soon, but it's called Friday Musicale. You can find them at Friday Musicale, and that's spelled M Friday, of course, Musicale, which is, Musicale, FridayMusicale.com. Go on their website. You'll see what I'm talking about. Seems like a pretty cool place, right?
Awesome. Yeah. And obviously the history part of that is really cool too. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, like, just think about now when you can sit around here and how wealthy you would have to have been in the 1800s to have music playing while you're eating, right? You know, we have Bluetooth speakers and we got music playing all the time, but they didn't have that unless you were really wealthy to have music playing. So, you know, that sounds like a really cool event though.
I know. Can you imagine, say, hey, Martha, I'm getting on my horse to ride into town. Where are my earbuds?
Where's my earbuds at? Never crossed their mind at all.
That's right. I guess they just sang and whistled to themselves, right?
Yeah, that's it. With their wooden teeth.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, our buddy, who, Rambler Kane,
yeah,
who, you know, we have our podcast music through, he's actually playing live September 27th. At Cafe 11 in St. Augustine. So I know, we've talked, obviously we've never seen him, but I like to try and throw that out because he's our local guy and he's our podcast song. So, you know, it's super, super cool there.
Yeah. That'd be fun to go see him. So that's in St. Augustine, right?
Yep. That's in St. Augustine. Yep.
By the way, speaking of St. Augustine, it reminded me of, it's really not St. Augustine, but Ponte Vedra, the Ponte Vedra Performance Center. It's used to be a church. We drove by there the other day. It looks like they're almost taking it down to the shutters or the frame. I mean, but anyway, that place is going to be really nice when they get finished.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be amazing. You know, and we're so lucky to have so many great places for music, and not just venues. A lot of the restaurants just have live music, and it's just everywhere. And just the history of music in Jacksonville, it's really cool. I know I was talking to some people the other day. We were talking about bands, obviously, that came from the Jacksonville or even just the north, northeast Florida. And a lot of people don't know Ray Charles is from here. You know,
He went to the Florida School of Deaf and Blind.
Yeah,
which is still there and still operating. I mean, I'm sure most of you know, but when you go across the Volano Bridge,
yep,
you're going from Jacksonville to St. Augustine and you cross that bridge there at Comanche Cove. It's right there on the right.
That's awesome. I mean, what a pioneer of music, Ray Charles.
Yeah. And so what are some other groups?
Leonard Skinner.
Yeah.
The Allman Brothers, the descendant from the Allman Brothers is Derek Trucks and Susan Tedeschi. So the Derek Trucks band, who lived just down the street from me, that whole Southern rock thing. So they're all from here. I mean, Blackfoot, Molly Hatchet, 38 Special, that whole thing all, you know, originated right here in the Jacksonville area. There's some other bands too that people don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, famously, really like the band Yellow Card. Pretty big band. And then also Limp Bizkit from Jacksonville. And then if you go back further back to my era in the 60s, there was a group called Dennis Yost and the Classics Four.
Yeah.
And they had several big hits, really good music. And Dennis Yost has since passed away, but they were Jacksonville based. And and there's, I'm sure there's plenty of other ones too that escape me right now, but
it's really
cool to know all that, you know,
to know all of it. And just because I, you know, obviously I'm a big music, you know, person, but even like the R&B stuff. So there's a band called the Quad City DJs and they sang the song, Come On Ride the Train. They're from here. So, you know, Shinedown is from here. There's some bands that you just don't think, you didn't know that they were from here, from the area. And it's funny sometimes when I talk about it, because I'm really passionate. I love the area and I love telling people about even the famous people who have homes here. Clint Eastwood, Leonardo has a home here. Will Smith, Jack Nicholson, Tom Hanks. A lot of people have homes in Northeast Florida. And it's really cool, you know, that those people hang out here, you know, with us. So.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it's like, it's a great area.
It just too. I want to throw out one other thing that I forgot. So the A1A, right, Beachfront Avenue, they're renaming a big portion of A1A, the Jimmy Buffett Memorial Highway. And the signs.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So the signs are over $2,000 a piece for these signs that they're going to have out. So it, I think all the stretch around us is all going to be Jimmy Buffett. So that's at the end of this month, the end of August. So yeah, that's all going to change. You know, it's still going to be known as the A1A, but now we're going to have the cool. I want to get my picture taken next to the sign now, the Jimmy Buffett Memorial Highway.
Yeah, what I mean, that's so appropriate that they're doing that. I'm so happy that they're doing it. You know, my wife and I talked about this recently. It's like, Jimmy Buffett's gone. Okay. Yeah. And it just seems like, how can Jimmy Buffett be gone? I mean, in my mind, and listen, I'm an old guy, I get it, but it just seems like, no, he wasn't that old. And it just, it's crazy, you know, and some of these other bands that just, I mean, I remember when Glenn Frey passed away from the Eagles, I'm like, what? Glenn Frey? By the way, speaking of the Eagles, we saw a great concert probably a month and a half ago with Don Felder. And, you know, he's a Gainesville guy. And he came from Gainesville, and that was at the Florida Theater where he was performing. He tells some great stories and, of course, the great fights that he had with Glenn Frey and others of the Eagles. But boy, honestly, I've always loved the Eagles. I didn't realize that he wrote Hotel California, but that was his song. And he wrote a bunch of other good ones too, but
what a great band.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to see him live even now, I mean, you know, I know I saw REO Speedwagon last month, and the very first concert I went to was 83, and it was REO Speedwagon. And it was the same thing, like Kevin Cronin's voice sounds like it did in 83, you know, I mean, you know, some people just, and he looks the same. He does, you know, some people age really well and they can hold on to their voice and their pipes. So,
yeah, it's amazing. It really is amazing how, and let's be honest, when you're in your 20s or whatever, you think somebody that's in their 30s is old. And then of course, somebody in their 50s or 60s, like they're ready for the grave. Right. But when you hear these people, and man, their voices just hold steady and they're just as good. It's so much fun and pleasurable to go hear them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not the ages to my age, Brian, just so you know. It's not, you know.
Oh, man. Listen, it's been fun. This has been a good one.
Been a blast. I know I always perk up when we talk about music, and I love Northeast Florida. I love the area. I love living here, and always trying to get more people to move here. But they have to be the cool people, right?
Yes.
If you're a butthole, you're not allowed in Northeast Florida. But the cool people, come on down.
When you cross the state line, they need to have one of those big signs overhead.
Yeah.
You know, with the line through.
Yeah, we're gonna have a little quiz. Have a little quiz for you. Yeah, Brian and I have a little quiz that you have to fill out. And if you're a butthole, you can just keep on going south. You can go right to Miami. But if you're cool, you can plant yourself right here in Northeast Florida.
Yeah, we want you. We want you. No question. You bet. All right. Good to speak with you, Brad.
Thanks, everybody,
for joining us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Hey, that's it for today's Real Clear, but we hope you've enjoyed it and gotten something out of it. As you know, our aim is to help people understand the ins and outs of buying and selling real estate in Northeast Florida. Music is provided by and with the permission of Rambler King. Real Clear is produced by Brian Marsh and Brad White, realtors with Berkshire Hathaway Florida Network Realty in beautiful Jacksonville, Florida. We'll see you next time on Real Clear.